the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on. Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos, and it is good! The Bears losing streak comes to an end on the final play of the regular season as Chicago comes to Lambeau and upsets the Packers 24-22.
That was Fox Sports, and that's a little bit of trolling on the part of our production staff, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We go to our Circuit Resort and Casino hotline, CircleLasVegas.com, and that is where we bring in our friend. He works for our sister station, but we're always mad at each other, so to speak. It is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. He is the afternoon host on 105.7, The Fan in Milwaukee, at Sparky Radio on Twitter. Steve, thanks for joining us. You got any memories of that audio we played there?
No idea what that was. No, I couldn't tell you. No.
I'm trying to remember the last time the Packers won. They had another game after that, right? Did the Packers win the next game?
I don't remember much of anything from last year. You know, I have memory loss in my old age, getting up to 50. It happens, you know? It happens. Just don't ever get old.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, too late for all of us, I'm afraid. Steve, as we get ready for training camp, we thought it would be a good idea to check in Green Bay and just... For all the talk that we've had, I think, about other NFL teams, you know, the former Packers quarterback gets a lot of headlines. What are the latest, I think let's just start with that, major storylines just heading into Packers training camp, in your opinion?
It's relatively quiet, to be honest with you. I think the biggest question just is, you know, can they find another person to go along with Rashawn Gary that can get after the quarterback? They didn't really... address it at all in free agency. They decided to sign an offensive guard in free agency. They decided to sign a cornerback in free agency, but they didn't do anything on the defensive line, right? So Trey Henderson is out there for the Bengals as a defensive end. He hasn't been traded yet, but, you know, there was talk of, should the Packers go get him? There was a talk of, should the Packers go get T.J. Watt, a former Badger, and bring him home? He's still in Pittsburgh as well. So neither one of those guys have been moved. So as of right now, nobody can be mad at the Packers if nothing happens there. But that's the big thing, right? Can Lucas Van Ness, a first-round pick out of Iowa who hasn't really done much of anything the last couple of years, finally live up to his potential and provide that? Because for this defense, for defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, he wants to be able to get after the quarterback with four or five guys and not have to use more than that for his defense to work correctly. And he really hasn't been able to do that the last couple of years, and the hope is maybe this year that can eventually happen. I can't say I have a lot of faith in that happening, but I think that is the one main storyline. And then the other storyline, obviously, is the Packer wide receiving core and just how bad they played last year based on stats and drops and, you know, everything else that goes along with it. Can they get better? Can they get back to how they were 2 years go and play more like that wide receiving core? Plus, they finally draft a wide receiver in Matthew Golden out of Texas at one. They take another receiver two rounds later in the third round, Savion Williams. So if that wide receiving core plays better, that offense should click up even more than it was last year.
Sparky, how wary are you, if at all, about the way this schedule lines up now with the teams that the NFC North have to face outside their division compared to a year ago? And how do you see the division shaking out this year?
I don't know. I mean, my thing on the schedule is, you know, we all like to do it in sports talk. Let's go over the schedule and go win-loss, and see how many wins and losses we can come up with. But you really don't know. Every year there's a couple of bad teams from the previous year that end up being really good that nobody thought was going to be really good. Then there's a couple of teams that are good that either get really hurt and fall down or just have bad seasons. So that's tough. And, again, I know I'm going to sound spoiled, but I mean, when you're a Packer fan, you just expect to win double-digit games every year. Like, regardless of what the schedule looks like, you just figure, like, they're going to win 10 or 11 games or more based on what you see. Now, if they have injury issues again where Jordan Love, you know, continuously gets hurt like happened last year, then obviously that's going to be a tougher road to go down for the Green Bay Packers. But if Jordan Love is actually healthy, I don't really get too concerned about whatever you want to put in front of the Packers. I feel pretty confident in that aspect. The division you asked about, I think it's pretty open, right? I mean, it's the Lions and the Packers for sure. And then after that, then there's a possibility the Vikings could get back into it. That's depending on J.J. McCarthy starting at a quarterback. We don't know what that's going to look like. And then the Bears, you know, there's a lot of talk about, well, they won the offseason for the 20th year in a row or whatever. Mm. But, you know, can they come through and do it? Can Caleb Williams get better? And listen, of all the guys that they could have had, Ben Johnson was the last one I wanted them to have, right? That dude is brilliant. He's really good. But we've seen brilliant offensive coordinators in the past not be able to be good head coaches. So we don't know what he's going to be like as a head coach. I do like the fact that he's not in Detroit any longer. That makes me happy. That makes Vikings fans happy. And I'm sure it makes Bears fans happy. We don't got to deal with him as an offensive coordinator. And that's why I think the division is kind of open, because you expect the Lions maybe to take a half step back with two new coordinators. So that allows maybe a window of opportunity for everybody else in the division maybe to sneak in there and give them a fight a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if the last place team in this division this year ended up, you know, having like 8 wins. And, you know, again, you're in another situation where you have all teams maybe over 500 in this division at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. This is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. He's the Afternoon Drive host on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee, talking to him about the Packers. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to sneak a Brewers question in there too. But I also think for all the talk, and I do think it is appropriate to discuss when it comes to the Packers receivers, health is going to help them when it comes to their tight end group. Do you think that that might pick up a lot of the slack when it comes to maybe the impressions you get to start the year?
I have been a big proponent last year, and I will continue to be a big proponent until I see something different. That Tucker Kraft, the tight end for the Packers, they should use him like Kelce. They should use him like Kittle. He should be that guy in this offense that gets, you know, 7 to 10 targets a game. His ability to break tackles and run over dudes, he's got really good hands. That should be their guy. And then let the receivers fall in where they fall in behind that. Christian Watson's dad, who's very active on social media, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the very bad, has been a big believer in, this is kind of like Matt LaFleur's fault of why there is no true one wide receiver in Green Bay, because of how the offense is built and how it's spread out. And every week the game plan changes for where the offense is going to flow to. So how can you ever get a true number one wide receiver like a Davante Adams or whoever, who gets, you know, 10 to 12 targets a game? That's just not going to happen based on how this offense plays week in and week out. So is he right? Maybe. Or Matt LaFleur just doesn't believe that anybody is talented enough to shoulder that burden like Davante Adams was week in and week out. I'm guessing that's more of less of what the issue is here, more than he simply just doesn't want to feature somebody. But that's been Christian Watson's dad's take on this whole thing of, you'll never have a featured one wide receiver as long as they continue to call the offense the way they do week to week.
That's been the story for the Packers, finally getting some receiving help, some pass-catching help, if you will, for Jordan Love. Can't wait to see how that turns out. Hopefully it ends up with Jordan Love from a Chicago perspective on his back several times. That's how we see things here. But, Steve, I do want to switch over to baseball.
Let me cut you off real quick. So the Jordan Love on his back thing, it's going to be more difficult to do that, because if this offense plays the way they did in the second half of the season, he just doesn't throw the ball all that much. That offense second half of last season was more about, majority of the season really, was about Josh Jacobs running the football and a little bit of play action. I think they should use more play action. But they really kind of took the ball out of Jordan Love's hands last year. He wasn't throwing the ball 40 times a game by any stretch of the imagination. So if they continue to play that conservative run-first type offense, then you're not going to have as many opportunities to even get to Jordan Love.
That's a good point, a fair point, as it were.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And we know how good that backfield can be. We're seeing how good the Brewers can be. And for some reason, people don't necessarily take them seriously until the end of the season when they're where they are, which is usually in the playoffs. How optimistic are you with the way this team looks and the health of the starting staff with the rest of the season going for the Brewers?
I'm pretty confident. I think they are still one bat away, a power bat of some sort. You know, Eugenio Suarez is the guy that everybody wants because there's not many bats out there, it doesn't look like, at the trade deadline. So the third baseman from the D-backs, They have Caleb Durbin at third base now. You know, he's a smaller in stature guy, doesn't have a ton of power, plays hard, all of that. But I think they're really one big bat away from putting that in the middle of the lineup to really taking that next step. And I'd like to thank the White Sox for Andrew Vaughn. It's been a pleasant surprise. We've really enjoyed Andrew Vaughn. Not sure what happened when he was with y'all, but
nothing. Nice nothing happened. Relatively speaking, for the last couple of years, that's why he got demoted, unfortunately. And I hate saying it that sharply, but that's the case.
For a bad offense, he couldn't hack it on a bad offensive team.
Well, he was in a bad organization, but this is the thing. So the Brewers have been kind of like the Bucks for the last several years. Go the first round, get bopped out, and then we're done, and that's the end of it. The last time they were in the NLCS was 2018. 2018, Yelich was an MVP that year and so forth, but they also had a guy named Jesus Aguilar who had like 35, 36 home runs, had the best year of his career, was never the same player after that. I said yesterday on the show, I said, well, if Andrew Vaughn becomes their Aguilar in the second half and continues to be unconscious like he's been and becomes that surprise, lightning in a bottle, has an unbelievable second half of the year and then goes back to being Andrew Vaughn after that, that could be enough to really get this Brewers team on a run if he continues to play the way that he is with that bat. It would be a huge surprise to everybody. And when they traded for Andrew Vaughn that day, Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, was talking to the media about the trade with Aaron Civale for Andrew Vaughn. And Pat Murphy said, he goes, we've been watching him. It's pretty simple. If you keep his stroke short and compact, he's really, really good. If that stroke gets long, that's where he has problems. We just have to focus on keeping it as a more shorter, compact approach at the plate, and we think he'll be pretty good. And if you watch, that's pretty much what he's been, is a lot more shorter, compact swing, and it's been working for him so far.
You make it sound so simple.
You hoping that Andrew Vaughn's offense is consistent and somewhat in the neighborhood of Jesus Aguilar. Welcome to White Sox fandom, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. You now understand where we were, I think, probably the last like 3 years of his career.
Also,
here. How
do you unlock Aaron Civale? Could you give us a hint?
Yeah, sure, I can. Hire Chris Hook, the pitching coach for the Brewers, because the man is the best pitching coach in Major League Baseball. It's not even remotely close. They just lined him up with a brand-new deal for several years because they didn't want the trader getting him down there in Chicago for the Cubs. So he's all lined up to be here. Chris Hook, that's the magic potion for this Brewers staff. No matter who you give him, no matter what their track record was before they get here, they always end up being a lot better under Chris Hook. And then they leave, and it goes sideways. The only exception to that might be Adrian Houser, who obviously is pitching really well.
Yeah, Adrian Houser has been a revelation. How much have you just paid attention to what he's done since he got here? Is it on your radar at all, just as an observer of the Brewers and then former Brewers?
Well, and I'm a fantasy baseball player, so it's on my radar. I've been watching, and I like Adrian Houser. Like, I'm cool rooting for Adrian Houser. Nobody's got any beef with Adrian Houser here. Everybody liked Houser when he was here, so I hope he continues to do well and so forth. And, you know, again, there was a lot of potential in him, too, coming up through the minor leagues in his career. So it's nice to see it finally paying off, and I would assume y'all are going to trade him, right? You're not going to keep him.
That would be the assumption, but the Whites, you know how it is, because you're talking about a Brewers team who, for example, you know that they are going to be buyers if there's enough sellers. I think the White Sox are one of the few teams you know are going to be sellers at the deadline. That would be the goal if I'm observing from their standpoint.
Can I ask you all a personal question?
Sure.
When it came out that it looks like Reinsdorf is getting out of the White Sox, and you're going to the Ishiba family, or Ishiba, however you say his name, to that family of owners, did y'all like have a personal like little private party that this was actually going to happen? Because in Milwaukee, I was like, that's the best thing that's happened to the White Sox in forever.
It was not private, I could tell you that. It was very public.
So you celebrated on the radio?
We talked about it a lot, but you know, it's still not going to happen. They ensure in that press release, they said not until 2029.
And as early as 2029, as late as 2034.
Well, we just got to have the world survive until then to see what it looks like. Because if you get to that point, then I think your payroll can start getting back into play like where it should be at that point.
Oh, man.
That is the hope.
Girl can dream. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, this has been a lot of fun. We appreciate you checking in and discussing all things going north of the border with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
I would like to say thank you for not bringing up Giannis's entire interview. I appreciate it.
We know the Bulls aren't in play. It's not a problem for us to skip over Giannis.
Unfortunately.
We're the other Reinsdorfs. Yeah, it's not happening.
Thanks, Steve.
You betcha. Take care, guys.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.